Benjamin and Barnage go wide left. Dre and Moore near side of the right. Play clock at three. Here's Duke Johnson with a blitz coming. Back to pass. Manziel throws. Corner. Touchdown.
Gary Barnage.
His eighth of the year. Gary Barnage with that brand new contract the other day and a big touchdown catch today.
That well-earned contract.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of Victory Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. We're going to be hearing from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in just a moment. Again, tomorrow, come on out and celebrate the win with us at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley, 38 Medina Line Road. It's tomorrow. We'll be there live from 1 to 3. Travis Benjamin will be there. Big play. Gurr will be there as well. One more touchdown, and he ties Ozzie Newsome's franchise record with 9.
It's pretty special.
It's real special. Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Check. Featured on Total Divas in a Love Triangle Where Two Divas Want You. Check.
Is that real or fake? Is that reality TV?
Reality TV. Check.
Okay. So are the Kardashians, right?
8 TDs, over 900 yards, career year. Check, check, check. About to tie the franchise record. Nay, maybe break it. Check. New contract.
Check. First Pro Bowl, potentially?
Check. Movie nights. Check.
Giving shoes away every week.
Check. Ms. Fest attendance. Check. The guy's done it all. Big play gear. Come out and see him. You can check that off of your list. If somebody's been nice and they haven't been naughty, they could do worse than an autographed picture by Big Play Gear. I'll tell you that much, folks. I'll tell you that right now. So come and see us. Discount Drug Mart, Copley Road. Lindsay's going to be there. She's saying she's going to come on the radio again. We'll see. We'll see if that's true. We're going to go back to the phone lines, and we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Let's start with Mike in Xenia. Mike.
Hey, how you doing today, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Better than we have been in a long time.
Oh, you got that right.
Yes.
Hey, I was really happy to see Manziel finally get to play.
Yes.
And, wait a minute, this radio is confusing me. Sorry.
Turn that radio down.
There we go.
Just lock in. Here we go.
Yeah, imagine how much better it would have been if they had started him from the beginning. I believe, because look how they did Mariota and Winston. I was hoping they would start him from the beginning and he would have a lot more confidence now and the more experience. This is what he has needed, reps, reps, reps.
Yeah, so interesting. Reps, reps, reps. And if you recall, I made that case after week two. I wanted to see him play. I wanted to see him evolve. And you're seeing how it is slowing down for him. That's really what you're seeing. You're seeing it slow down. You're seeing a guy who really has kind of got it all starting to come together. The game is slowing down. And now we're going to see with some real tests against two very good defense just exactly where Johnny Manziel is. Jim in Monroeville. What's up, Jim?
Hi, good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
You know, for the last 30 years, I've dreamed of a young Messiah coming into Cleveland and dominating the Steelers and the AFC North. I'm hoping Manziel can be that young fella I dreamed of. I'm pretty much a believer already, but I had a question. What's so terrible about the money sign? I have to watch these fellas twerking in the end zone and humping and bumping. But,
did you see the celebration by the Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback?
Oh,
it went on for like
him
an
and
hour.
Joey Porter on the sideline,
yeah, swimming to each other. He got a penalty. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the money. I'll say it. I said it once. If you score a touchdown in the NFL, you should have 30 seconds to do whatever you want because you're putting your life on the line. You're putting your health and well-being on the line. If you're okay, if you can get in the end zone, which is the goal of the NFL, celebrate. It's fun. It's a game.
Yeah, but the fans and analysts and play callers are upset that it might take the referees 30 seconds to get a call right. that has a direct result and reflection on the football game, and people start to boo, and it slows down the game, and all those other things.
Get over it. It's supposed to be fun.
Okay.
Like, big play Garrett. I thought we were going to get it. He's been telling us he wants to do the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels double bicep pose after a touchdown, but he had all these parameters. We have to be ahead, blah, blah, blah. It all came. It was right there. I was waiting for it with bated breath, and we didn't get it.
And what happened?
We didn't get it. He just handed the ball to the referee. He's big play Garrett. It's what he does. He's not there to show off. He's not there to dance. You don't have to take the 30 seconds and dance. If you don't want to dance, you don't have to. But if you want to get out there and you want to party, if you want to fake swim, if you want to do that, these guys should take my idea. Put the URL, the website, on your gloves, put it to the camera, and then have a pre-recorded celebration at that website. You can donate $1 for every click, you know, to some charity so the NFL can't get mad at you. I think it's genius.
I don't know about that. Because you could send people everywhere, and you could have, like, you know, hackers can get in there and have who knows what at that URL when you finally score that touchdown, probably right in front of your face.
You're right to celebrate, man.
Okay.
However you want to celebrate is fine with me. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns now, Mike Pettine. Obviously, the big news coming out of the game, Brian Hartline, he's saying that he will have surgery tomorrow. But Mike Pettine was talking about this win yesterday, the most complete game of the year.
Offensive and defensively, you know, as complete a game as we've played. It was great to see us run the football as well as we did, over 200 yards. You know, I thought Johnny did some good things. It's just a big mistake throwing it late over the middle. Hopefully that's a lesson learned.
And yes, and Johnny Manziel saying it is indeed a lesson learned and one that he wants to focus on. And you could tell he was unhappy after that. Mike Pettine talked about Manziel's reaction with the Surface tablet.
It would bother me more if he just whatever and just walked off. I mean, we want our guys to, when they know they screwed up, I mean, they don't have to put on a show, but I mean, that was a natural reaction. He was upset with himself because he knew it. He knew it right when it happened.
He knew he shouldn't have done it. He also knew Gary Barnage was streaking down the middle of the field uncovered, and he should have just hit him earlier in the play. And Tom Brady goes through a billion sideline tirades, and nobody ever complains about it. And he's also Tom Brady.
Did you see Tom Brady play J.J. Watt after the football game?
What happened? Why did he do that?
The only thing
been intentional.
The only thing that I could tell is, or in the first quarter at some point when the Patriots had like multiple plays called back after they scored multiple touchdowns, on one of those plays, J.J. Watt, and I think it was on the touchdown that was enforced on the kickoff, J.J. Watt took two steps additional and then just took a shot right at Brady, right in his ribs. And, you know, I think it all stemmed from that. J.J. Watt doesn't respect him enough to take that 15-yard penalty because he's caught up in the moment at home in the red unis against the Patriots. I think Brady just – it was his way of disrespecting him back.
So you think that was a legit – that was a snub?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I think, you know, J.J. – you don't see the camera's too close to J.J., like, right over his shoulder, that you don't see him, like, maybe he's, like, giving him one of those, like, pats on his, like, rib cage or pats on his arm or something, and Brady, like, just continues to, like, meander off, you know. I think Brady was well aware that he was right there.
It wasn't that big of a dissing. He was behind him, but we'll see. I'm sure he's going to get asked about it.
Yeah. And, I mean, knowing Tom Brady.
So here it is. It was the vagaries of television direction. The NFL's premier quarterback and top defense player had gotten their hand shaken a few seconds prior to that. It was tweeted out, picture of them shaking hands. So I think he was just walking behind him, and he was done. It was not a diss.
Okay.
What did you think of Pac-Man Jones's video yesterday?
I loved it.
It was great.
I loved it.
It was great.
And I think now that they're Daltonless, the Steelers are, you know, if they saw the Steelers in the first round, it wouldn't be a good thing.
No, certainly would not. Another thing I want to talk about is, I'm going to say it. I don't know if it's going to be popular or if it's not going to be popular. The orange jerseys are the best jerseys we've got. It flows from the helmet to the jersey so much better than the brown jerseys. And I
agree with
if
that.
I was in charge.
It flows well.
I would want the orange jerseys to be our normal home, and I'd have the browns be twice a year special.
Okay.
I like the orange so much better. I like it better with the white pants. And I started off not liking it with the brown pants. By the end of the game, I liked it with the brown pants. And watching it back on tape, I actually really liked it with the brown pants. And we haven't even gotten to see orange yet.
Right.
Never been.
Can't be orange this year.
Not this year. No.
Not this year.
No.
The all whites have really grown on me.
Yeah, but you can have those. That's for the road. You're good with that.
No, I know.
I don't like all white at home.
Okay.
I do think the orange jerseys, though, are fire. Vinny James Radio says Browns wear orange jerseys more often. Vinny James, I agree.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to Mike Pettine now. He is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Talking about the overreaction, trying to stay even keel after the win or a loss.
Win intends to do that. So I tell the guys all the time, usually when you win, there's an overreaction, and when you lose, there's an overreaction. And when you had the streak that we had of losses, that overreaction, there's a multiplier to it. So, people driving by the building to see if it's on fire. So, no, there's, like we say in this league, winning unheal everything, but it helps. And it's just, hey, to take a Sunday and go out and win a football game, it's a great feeling for our players.
It is a great feeling for the players. It's a great feeling for us. It's a great feeling for all of you. So it's just a nice day. It's a nice victory Monday. It had been rough. It had been a long road, Matt Wilhelm. 7 weeks with a bye week. It had been over 2 months.
Yeah, 63 days to be exact.
63 days.
That's, I don't have the hours and minutes. Sorry.
That's 9 weeks.
There you go.
No math major. 9 weeks. By the way, my real tree is up, and I love it. Just a non sequitur right there. Thank you. Bob Rose agrees with me about the orange jerseys, by the way. I don't even know. It's more than a billion. It might be a trillion percent that he agrees with me. Okay. I like it. It just flows from the helmet. I like the helmet to flow into the jersey if it's a color like orange, because the brown is an alarming color.
Then why don't the Packers wear yellow jerseys?
They're fine. That's a classic. To me, that works better.
The Browns wear a classic as well.
Yeah, but the brown and the orange – it's not exactly, if you're going to go out there and start a team from scratch, there's not a whole lot of brown and orange that's just getting drawn up together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Green and gold you've got in every pro sport. Every pro sport's got green and gold. I don't know that there's another pro sports team that has brown and orange. No.
No.
No, there isn't.
No.
No. But orange, you can go with the orange. I just like it. I like the brown pants, though. I like having the brown in it. I like the brown outline on the numbers. I think looks good. I just like those orange uniforms.
We'll talk to Brad.
I don't even know if they're allowed to declare that. I don't even know if you're allowed to do it.
They declare in advance of the season.
Yeah, but can you change what your actual jersey is and say that, for example, we had declared the orange
that,
our alternate.
No, I don't
next
think
year,
so.
Could we declare the brown to be our alternate?
I don't believe so. No. Because I mean, when I was in San Diego, we would have loved to wear the Carolina. I mean, the light blue, as your main jersey, but the navy was. Oh yeah, we weren't allowed. It's your alternate.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Still 2 out of 8, 25%. We're not going to complain about that. Joe Thomas has been around for a lot. Hadn't seen many wins like this one, where they rush for 200 yards. Saying maybe that's the formula for success.
When you rush for 200 yards, it's hard to lose. You know, you got to do some really bad things to lose a game when you have 200 yards rushing. And obviously, we didn't do those things. And you make it so hard on the defense when you're running the ball effectively. They really have to overcommit to stopping the run, and it just opens the pass game wide open.
Yes, indeed it does, and we saw that in the game. Austin Pastore coming in, making a nice, nice, nice impact. They averaged over 12 yards a carry behind him yesterday. That is pretty good. You like that.
And that was with him in the game, it was a huge run tendency of where the football was going to start. Where it ended up, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, they cut it back behind Schwartz and Greco, but the ball was starting behind Pastore, Thomas, and Mack, and the push that they created on the nose tackle.
Yeah, it was good. It seemed like there was something really, really working there, and it was nice to see. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hand out our game balls. We'll have your phone calls. And then Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will be with us at 2:30 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
And Bolden and Smith are near side wide left. Two receivers out wide right. On the far side, Bolden motions, drones the running back. Second down, 16. Gabbert play action fake to drone. Up in the pocket, going down. Xavier Cooper and Desmond Bryant got him.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Cleveland Browns season ticket members, don't miss the holiday. Double your discount sale at the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop Friday, December the 18th, and Saturday, December 19th. It's your chance to stock up on Browns gear for everyone on your list with 30% off everything for season ticket members and 40% off everything for premium ticket members by presenting your ticket member benefit card. And there's 50% off select merchandise for the entire dog pound. This offer is valid at the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium, and discounts cannot be combined with any other offers. The Browns Pro Shop is open Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. for this special season ticket member holiday sale. Take advantage of that. Get the once the people want Browns gear, do it. Go. Make it happen. Get in there. All right, Matt Wilhelm, game ball time. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Who gets your game ball?
My game ball's got to go to the Crow. 144 yards, two touchdowns, 50-yard run, 54-yard run. Give this man a hole, and he will make them miss and break some tackles and create some chunk runs.
It's what we've been saying, and we really have been saying it all season long. There are running backs who can make plays out of nothing. Isaiah Crowell's not that kind of back, but when you block it for him and give him an opportunity – he can be explosive
and it doesn't need a lot.
Power. No, it's those not like, creases were small.
Right. He doesn't need these gaping holes that you saw Emmitt Smith run to back in the day. It's not what he needs. I mean, obviously any back can run through those, but you give him a crack. He's going to get you 4 yards. You know, it's that penetration and the clean penetration that has really stymied our run game all year long.
Oh, yeah.
That is just visually talks John DeFilippo out of rushing the football and rather have his quarterback take the chance with the ball in the air.
Yeah.
So Crow gets my game ball.
I like that for Crow, and I'm going to go one step further, and I'm going to give it to the offensive line because I thought this was the best off the effort we've seen from that group in providing for the run game, getting those guys 2.5 yards down the field before they took contact, in providing protection for Johnny Manziel, 33% of his dropbacks. That was it in terms of being under pressure. It was the best game all year for the offensive line. I will give all of them a game ball. Austin Pastor, welcome to the dance, Monfer. Let's go now to the defensive side of the ball.
Defensive side of the ball, I'm going to give a game ball to Armonte Bryant. And this is his stat sheet, and it's filled. 7 tackles, all solo, no assists. 2 sacks for minus 19 yards, 2 tackles for a loss, and 2 quarterback hits. And for that reason, Armonte Bryant gets my game ball.
And he joined us at the Discount Drug Mart last week. People were lining up out the building to get some time with Armonte, and apparently that love was returned as Armonte had his best game of the season, the 2 sacks. I'm going to give mine. I'm going to go a little bit different direction just because we had the guy on the Coach Pettine show. He did a good job. 2 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits on the day. Nate Orchard turning in his first 2 sacks of his young NFL career. We'll give him the game ball. Welcome to the quarterback meeting, Nate Orchard. And he's got a great
name.
Good
pick. That was going to be my first pick.
Thank you.
Brian was just a little overwhelming with how statistically advanced he was.
And what I loved about Armonte is, so he did the big scoreboard hit after the game. When we win, again, I get the opportunity to talk to a player at the game. He was great. Before we go on there, and you guys all know, Armonte's got some crazy hair. He's got some pretty wild hair. The first thing he asked me was, before we went on the big board, how's my hair look? I loved it. I'm like, you know it looks good, Armonte. Come on. He's like, yeah. He gave a little tussle, and he was good to go.
So how many people are left in the stadium when you do your scoreboard hit?
It's literally right after the final gun.
In uniform.
In uniform.
Okay.
As he's before he even gets to the locker
room. Gotcha.
It is as he walks right off the bench. We got him. We do with Travis Benjamin in the Tennessee game.
Sure.
Yeah, people like it. You get a good. You can tell from the pop you get back after.
You only do it after wins?
Only after wins.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've gotten to do it twice. Travis Benjamin or Bronny Bryant.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's been fun. I like that. I get very excited. By the way, I don't know. Somebody times my "Let's Go Browns" from the beginning.
I heard it.
They said it was my longest go by a couple seconds.
I thought it was your longest. I was up in the suite level going to see my guy Bobby DiGeronimo at Independence Excavating, who's always opens up his box to my wife and I. And I went and saw him, and I'm walking by. I walk out of his suite, and it starts, and I'm like, I walk by like 12 doors on the suite level, and it's like, and it just kept going. It was like, and I'd walk by one, and I'd hear it carry over to the next and carry it to the next.
It was a pretty strong. It was good. So the camera guys, I've become buddies with those guys, and one of them stands to the side, and once I start going, he starts like getting his hands, and then he starts building it up until like I get there, and then he gives it the like, boom, for the Go Browns. But
right.
That one felt good. Felt good. Felt like my cardiovascular.
Did it feel like too much?
Has been paying off. I don't know. Can it be too much?
I think it can be too much.
You think it could be too long of a go?
Yes.
So So I shouldn't try to go for like 2 minutes.
I think people are into it, and like they don't drink their beer, they don't take a bite of their hot dog or open up a peanut.
Yeah.
And then when it goes too long, they're chomping at the bit to take a sip of their beer, take a bite of that hot dog, or open a peanut.
But what if I go so long that it's known? Have a sip of beer mid-go. You got plenty of time.
Huh? You've shown otherwise.
Drink that beer.
Create the standard.
Drink that beer. I'm going to. I'm going to try to go. I'm going to on against Pittsburgh. I'm going to see if
I
can.
Yeah, one up left.
I'm going to see if I can hit a minute.
Come on.
Do you think that's possible?
No.
You don't think that's possible?
Not for you. It's like, you want to hold your breath for five?
No. A minute seems ambitious. 30 seconds, though, is maybe possible.
Let's find out what that one was.
I don't know. We need somebody to go back and, yeah, if somebody has that on their phone, time that out for me. Let me know. Somebody told me it was a personal best, but they didn't give me a final tally. They said it was a PB. We'll take it.
Let's break and get to Donovan.
Let's go to the voice of the Cleveland Browns. Jim Down will be with us on the other side of this here on ESPN 850 WK. And
don't get me started, love. I've had too much to drink.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
P3, the original protein. Let's get grilled.
Still waiting to get grilled.
And we're not going to have to grill this man. The dulcet tones, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim Donovan joins us on the Ohio Business Machines Hot Topic Hotline. Jim, how good did it feel? First time in 63 days, we had the sweet, sweet taste of victory.
You know, it was great. It really was. I had a great time down there yesterday, and it was so complete. I mean, the victory was very complete. It wasn't gimmicky. It wasn't. It really wasn't all that dramatic. I mean, it was just the better team won yesterday, and I'm glad to see it happen. I'm glad to see it happen for the fans and for those players who have been through a lot, you know, some of it their own doing, but, I mean, they've been through a lot through the losing streak, but it was a great day. It really was.
Jim, thank you first and foremost for the hospitality, allowing me to come up in the booth and really dive in and understand the hard work that you and Doug Deacon put into that broadcast every day.
Oh, well, it was good having you up there, man.
You got a shout-out for your fact or fiction preparation.
I'm always ready. I'm always ready. That award-winning fact or fiction segment we always do.
Indeed.
Jim, after the effort that which was a lot of what I was asking for in the final six game of the season, is to see those that want to be here in Cleveland, that are passionate about playing for the Cleveland Browns, not only through the remainder of the season, but into next season as well, as we're essentially playing for nothing but for pride and each other. Did you see enough fight in that football team that we could potentially make things interesting over the course of the next 3 weeks that are against potentially three playoff football teams?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is going to change a great deal from the team that they faced yesterday. I mean, they're going to face really good teams who really need wins in each one of these situations that when the Browns play them, they're going to have to come through with victories in those games to further their chance and their grip on having a playoff spot. So this is going to be a great test. But, yeah, there were good things yesterday. I mean, there really were. I mean, I was kind of wondering the last couple of weeks about Isaiah Crowell, and he answered a lot of my fears yesterday by saying, no, I can still be a very productive running back. I mean, he looked so much quicker to the hole and explosive and good on the goal line, which was really good to see, that they didn't have to throw the ball all the time down there, that they could pound it in, and I know that would have to please the offensive coaches and the head coach and the team. So, I mean, I was happy with him. I have to tell you, though, guys, I had a great time watching Johnny Manziel play yesterday.
It is fun.
And I was very intrigued as to how he was going to play, and I thought that he was very good and continues to improve. And, boy, I really enjoyed a lot of the stuff he did. And, yeah, there were some things that got a little wacky there, but, you know, all quarterbacks do that. And but he really, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he changed my mind, but I thought that was a fun afternoon watching him run that football team.
Yeah, if nothing else, it was certainly a step in the right direction to make you more intrigued and leave you wanting to see more. And in this game, I stayed in the end zone for the vast majority of the game because I wanted to see from behind Johnny, to see what he was seeing on the field. And it looked to me like he just sees the field better. He was so much more calm in the pocket, and you could see his head go from left to right or right to left, go through progressions. From your great vantage point, which is really like the coach's tape up there, what did you see in terms of his ability to see the field and go to the right place with the football at the right time more often than not?
Well, there were a number of times that, like you say, I saw where he was going to go, and you can actually see him go through progressions. I mean, there were a number of times I saw him where the formation was loaded on the left side, and he would look left, and then he'd come back to the middle, and then he'd look out into the flat, and then he'd make some next decision. But I thought he went two or three times, you know, through the progressions a number of times. And, you know, Nathan, here's the thing. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, he's got to stay in the pocket. He's got to stay in the pocket. But I'll tell you what. He is the master of knowing how to play outside the pocket. Now, I'm not saying that he can have a fruitful career in the NFL doing that. But if there's anyone right now, young quarterback, veteran quarterback, that knows how to do it, he knows how to do it because I think this is the way he's always had to play. And because he's done it for so long, he's pretty good at it. I mean, he creates his own throwing lanes sometimes. He keeps plays alive. There's no question about that. And so I thought he did both things really well. I thought he stayed in there. He was upright. He was looking down the field. He was very calm in the pocket. But I thought there was a point in the game where Mangini turned up the heat on him, and those blitzes were coming, and they were really timed, you know, almost succinctly to the snap of the football. And I thought that he got rid of the ball in the right spot. And then I thought that he hit eject at the right times a number of times and got out of there and made some great plays. I mean, I thought he, as you watch him progress from Tennessee and then a long wait until he played in Cincinnati, and then he plays in Pittsburgh, and then we've had 3.5 weeks before he plays again. I mean, he continues to get better and better. I give him a lot of credit for that.
I agree with you. And he wasn't reckless when he got out of the pocket.
Right.
Didn't take hits. He slid, which was nice to see. Even if it was a sideways slide, we will take it. And I love that when he got out of the pocket, his first inclination was to look down the field, keep his eyes down the field, and try to make a big play, which he did multiple times, one to Barnage, one to Benjamin, immediately come to my mind. Let's talk about this defense. It has been much maligned, and they have had two what I would call massive explosion games. This was the second. The first was obviously against Tennessee, but it just seemed like this is what we were expecting all year long. Not 9 sacks, of course, but stop the run, get to the quarterback, physical, flying around, good defense.
Yeah, it was. You're right. Under the category, hey, that's what we've been waiting for. I mean, that's what we've been waiting for. And I think we were at the point where we just thought, we're not going to get it. I mean, it's one of the biggest oversells of the year was what we thought they were going to be defensively and what we've watched. But that was good yesterday. I mean, it was really good. I mean, really good pass rush and a lot of different guys doing it. And it's good to hear, and I heard a lot of it in the locker room, about, guys saying, hey, listen, Nate Orchard works really hard in practice, and he's been pressing because he realizes he was a big sack guy coming out of college, and that was one of the reasons why the Browns went after him. And he was able to finally break through and make some good plays yesterday. Armani Bryant got back into the swing of things. Desmond Bryant continues to have a very good year. Kruger was running around. I mean, you name them, and they were all there. The kid Xavier Cooper was in there. And it just all fed into a very good day defensively for them.
It definitely did. And, Jim, to get back on to Johnny Manziel, as he, you know, will most likely have the football for the final four games, including yesterday's performance. Moving forward, if Johnny Manziel plays well enough as a quarterback, and now the competition and the heat will be turned up against the next three opponents, as we all know and have mentioned, do you believe that if he plays well with a defense that may in fact give up a lot of points and some lack of Brian Hartland and other playmakers, that you go into this offseason in full on deliberation mode on whether you need to add a quarterback via the draft, especially a first round pick?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think that you really have to take a look at this now, and you've set up this 4-week time trial for him, and he aced the one yesterday, so now you're down to 3 more against really good opponents. And again, I think that, not to harp on it, but not to make excuses before he actually plays, but I mean, Hartline being out of there now is going to be another problem that he's going to have to overcome, and can they overcome it and give him some people that can be playmakers in the passing game for him? I mean, he hasn't got Marvin Jones, A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu out there, and Tyler Eifert, although he's got a really good tight end. But, I mean, so you have to really take a step back and say, okay, who is he going to play with? But having said that, yeah, I think the Browns would owe themselves, the right to deliberate over this long and hard if he continues to play well and say, hey, listen, we may have our guy. He may be here. And, then you have to – you have to sit down and you have to have a real heart-to-heart with everybody and say, okay, what is our appetite for all of the off-the-field stuff? How much more of that can we take? How does that figure in how does that swing everything? Can we lean that his football talent outweighs the problems and the headaches that sometimes come with him away from the building? Or is that just out of the question? Is it not worth it? And we go get a quarterback. But, yeah, I think it's definitely worth a long, hard study and a lot of talk and a lot of open talk about what you want to do with him. But after yesterday, I mean, you know, the discussion is very, very open, I would think.
It certainly is. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And if he puts together good performances against Seattle and Kansas City in two hostile environments, there will be even more discussion. And we talked about best friend to a guy like Johnny Manziel, protection, and, of course, a good ground game. I was very impressed with Austin Pastor and what he brought to this offensive line in his first start as a Cleveland Brown. Your thoughts on his performance and the line in general?
Well, you did a good job of pointing that out yesterday, and I have to tell you that, you know, the thing we didn't see were guys just breaking through there cleanly like we saw, unfortunately, when Cam Irving was overmatched in there at guard, and once Betonio went out, I mean, you just saw people like Geno Atkins, who's a great player, but just blowing through untouched. None of that. There was no leakage that way yesterday. When they did get their pressure, I mean, they did get it with, you know, all-out blitzes, but even that was handled pretty well. So, yeah, I thought that was very, very, very encouraging when you consider Betonio's not coming back this year and very helpful to them. And, boy, yeah, I mean, you look at it, and suddenly there were holes to run through. I mean, there really were. I mean, for both guys, for both Crowell and for Duke Johnson, and it really, it was just so great to see that running game, and because it's just everything clicks into place then once that is there and once the defense has to play against it, and if they're not playing well against it, how defeating it is to another team. I mean, it's just been a part of the game that's been missing for a long time, not only this year, guys, but really even towards the tail end of last year it was missing.
And Jim, after yesterday's performance, and if in fact Johnny Manziel does play well and we're competitive in, say, two of the three final football games, does that change your connotation as, or do you think it changes the mentality of any Browns fan with the calling for some type of change, whether it be via defense or, in fact, you know, either Mike Pettine or Ray Farmer?
Well, I don't know, Matt. I have to tell you, I mean, that's a big I don't know if Johnny Manziel, you know, individually or his individual play can, you know, supersede all of that. This is a big thing. There's a whole team thing, and it really, as I think you guys would agree, the quarterback play hasn't really
been
an issue.
It's not
a real reason why they're 3-10. There are other big issues here, and there are other decisions that have been made that just haven't come out to really help the team. So I don't think that the one thing that, you know, wrestling with the quarterback situation and coming to some kind of happy decision that, hey, we have our guy now, let's go, we're all in on this, I don't know if that relieves all of the other sins that have gone on so far with, why the team has not played up to the way that everyone thought it was going to play. I mean, I don't know that his play is going to all of a sudden make the defense and answer all of the questions there, or just even really the whole way everything has gone this season. No, I think everybody is still on the table for a lot of decision-making as to whether or not everybody comes back.
Talk with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, right now you look around the AFC North. Andy Dalton's injury, your thoughts on the impact that will have on Cincinnati and the fact that the Steelers could win every game left and still not make the playoffs if the Jets and the Chiefs do the same over the final 3 weeks.
You know, when they put that up, Nathan, when they put up on the network broadcast at this stage of the year, you know, all right, if the play, here's the AFC playoff picture. And so when that went up last night, I have to be honest with you, I was shocked when I saw the Steelers over in the right column, which is in the hunt, you know, not in the playoffs, but in the hunt, because, I mean, the way they have looked and the way they're playing right now, and certainly after a win against Cincinnati yesterday afternoon, I just kind of took it that they're in. But they're not in. There's no question about it. But they are an explosive team. Now to the Cincinnati situation, I don't think a team could have walked out of a stadium more pleased than the Cincinnati Bengals walked out of First Energy Stadium a week ago.
Yep.
I mean, everything went right. Dalton looked terrific. They did anything they wanted to do. They looked great in every aspect of the game. And, you know, they were playoff, you know, ready. They were just fine-tuning and doing the mathematics of what's it going to take to get the top seed and certainly a home playoff game and then get over that huge mental barrier that they have. It is amazing how quickly something can change like that. And Dalton going down, I mean, they are truly on the ropes right now because of that. I mean, A.J. McCarron, I do not see him being able to do that and lead them through, you know, to go deep into the playoffs. And I know they've got a lot of other weapons, but at that position to lose that kind of a player is just crippling to a team like that. I mean, it changes the whole picture of the AFC, not just the AFC North and not just individually for the Bengals, but the whole playoff picture.
It certainly does. And the amazing thing about the Steelers, as you said, in the hunt right now, not in the playoffs. When you break down every team, they have the second best or lowest, I would guess, Super Bowl odds, depending on how you want to look at it. The favorite to win the Super Bowl right now is the Patriots. They're number two, actually, in Vegas ahead of Carolina, which is amazing when you think about it.
You know, I got to tell you now, when Eric Mangini was the head coach here, and it was his first year, and he won out at the end of the year. He won four games in a row at the end of the year. The first one came against the Steelers. And the Steelers did not lose again the regular season, but they didn't make the playoffs. And that game that Mangini and Josh Cribbs had a great game that night, and the Browns defense played really well, and they won the game, that game really was the one that knocked the Steelers out of the playoffs, the fact that they lost that game. Wouldn't it be something if it came down to that on the final game of the season against Pittsburgh here, and the Browns could deliver a really play the ultimate spoiler and knock the Steelers out? What a storyline that would be.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Now, that's the kind of thing that can save a coach's job.
Yeah, absolutely it could, and it would get First Energy Stadium rocking. Jim, thank you so much for the time. Great call on the game, as always, and we'll talk to you later this week.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Take our final break. We'll get our final thoughts in here as we wrap it up on a victory Monday. It's glorious. Time flies when you're having fun, Matt Wilhelm. Edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. We've handed out the game balls, which was fun to do again. It's been a victory Monday. We've heard from everybody. We'll bring back the grades tomorrow.
My tune has changed.
You are. You're much more positive than you were at about like 105, which is nice to hear.
I wasn't raining on anybody's parade. It was my perspective versus your perspective. You happen to look at Johnny and go, yeah, he gets Johnny to 2-2. And you celebrate the two, but you look at the backside of the two and they just were as ugly as, you know, the winds were in our favor.
Yes.
That's all.
I get it. It's
Go Browns!
It was a positive thing. That's all I'm saying.
How about, is Khalil Mack a beast or what?
Oh, my goodness, Khalil Mack.
Manchild?
Derek Thomas-esque.
Yes. And I don't know who they finish with, which we'll look that up and we'll let you know tomorrow, but does he have a chance to get, 7.5? Or actually 8 sacks in his last 3 football games and would break the record?
I certainly think he does have a chance. It'll be tough.
Go ahead. Close it up, bro.
But he does have a chance.
All right. We don't want to steal anybody's time.
No.
After a Johnny win.
It is Victory Monday. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow here on Cleveland Browns Daily. For our producer, Eazy-E, for Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zgura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys. And thanks for listening to another edition of
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by the great folks at Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.